Woods, I wish you all the best of luck. Whether you're going to college, the military, the workforce, or taking life one day at a time, you should be forever proud of yourself and what you have accomplished. Our class will never be forgotten, not only because of the historical significance of this year, but because of how it shaped us into who we are, and how it has inevitably led us to make one of the greatest impacts on the world. Again, congratulations, class of 2020, we finally did it.
This is Galen Joseph Hunter
and Echo Rowe
for Wave Farm Radio and WGXC 90.7 FM, Radio for Open Ears. Thanks so much for listening. You've just heard a special two-hour broadcast celebrating the Caro Durham High School Class of 2020. You've been listening to songs selected by the seniors, as well as messages of congratulations called in from over 70 family members and friends to celebrate the success of these dedicated students who have persevered through a very extraordinary year. If you'd like to revisit an archive of this program, go to wavefarm.org and search CDHS Class of 2020.
Thank you.
Hola, mis amigos. This is El Hudi, and you're listening to WGXC Acra, 90.7 FM, listener-supported radio for open ears.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Daily News. I'm Phil Grant. Nora Mashanik at the Columbia Green Media reports that a crowd of about 100 people turned out to show their support for Alima Banza at the park in front of the Columbia County Courthouse in Hudson on June 25th. The demonstration was not a protest, but more of a show of support for Banza, a Chatham woman from West Africa who had a family court appearance June 25th. Banza is seeking custody of the three children from her ex-husband, Alan Stack, who she alleges abused her for years. The Columbia County Sanctuary Movement helped organize the demonstration. Addressing the crowd with a megaphone, Banza said, and I quote, "For 20 years I have been trying to fight on my own. Now I know I'm not alone," end quote. Some in attendance claim Columbia County Sheriff David Bartlett is not getting back to them about whether he is investigating Banza's allegations. WGXC had a live web stream of the demonstration with a recording in the WGXC audio archives from Neva Wartell.
"Now I have to stand strong, even though I am very afraid and scary, but with all your support, I appreciate it. It makes me stand really strong. And I will not allow this to happen. And he will not get custody of my children. Today is today.
Right.
It's been 20 years. I've been trying this on my by myself, working and trying to fight on my own. It's not going to happen anymore. Now I know I'm not alone."
Meanwhile, across the Hudson River, Village of Catskill officials still will not agree to paint a Black Lives Matter mural on Main Street. An online petition has over 1,200 signatures supporting the proposed artwork. After a mural was painted on a street in Washington, D.C., others were painted on Albany and Schenectady streets, and Hudson officials have promised one there too. But the Catskill Village Board of Trustees so far will not agree on a mural on Water Street or banners above Main Street. Hudson Catskill Housing Coalition's coordinator Molly Stitchfield said, and I quote, "What does it say about our community values to push a statement for Black Lives Matter to the side? If we are only willing to say Black Lives Matter on a low-traffic side street used primarily as a cut-through to Hoponose or a temporary banner that can be destroyed by the wind or torn down." The main concern, Village President Benny Seeley mentioned, was not wanting to disrupt Main Street business after COVID. The Village Board's 10-plus day deliberation sends the message that they value the economy and tourism before Black lives, end quote. At a June 24th village meeting, Seeley and Trustee Joseph Kolowski favored putting messages on banners above Main Street, while Trustee Natasha Law suggested painting a building. Stitchfield also said Seeley refused to entertain the defund the police slogan. Stitchfield said, and I quote, "When we first asked Vinny, that was one of the potential slogans we asked about. He said it would have to say Black Lives Matter, and we said we were willing to do that. we are not willing to move the mural off Main Street, end quote. While Hudson quickly announced the mural project and a 10% police funding cut, Village of Catskill officials did not take any action. Seeley said, and I quote, "If we want to have a conversation about changes in policy or finances, it needs to be in an open forum and have all stakeholders at the table. Moving resources and funding to mental health programs, economic development, and other areas can be achieved, but we need to work hand in hand with the town and the county. Creating a knee-jerk reaction right now could be dangerous and unwind all the work all of us have put in to improve the Village of Catskill and build up all of our community. We had two very powerful and well-attended marches. Let's keep the momentum going by challenging ourselves to continue a conversation and take appropriate action," end quote. Protests continue locally this week, including a 5 p.m. June 26 action in Guilderland. On Saturday, June 27th, there are protests in Albany, Schenectady, Rosendale, Monticello, and Putnam County. On Sunday, June 28th, there are events in Rensselaer, Newburgh, Woodstock, and Ellenville. Nora Mishanek is reporting for Columbia Green Media. The Hudson Tourism Board has allocated $50,000 for short-term projects and $100,000 for long-term projects in an effort to kickstart the local economy in the wake of the COVID-19 shutdown. The board is hoping to crowdsource creative ideas to bolster tourism. Board member Chris McManus said Project Hudson aims to engage directly with the local community and encourage regional tourism. Business associations, nonprofits, cultural organizations, and civic groups based in Hudson are eligible to submit proposals from now through the month of July. Third Ward Alderperson Calvis Lewis, chair of the Tourism Board, said the board has two goals in mind: to give organizations the business access to funds that could help them stay afloat, and to give community members the opportunity to play an active role in creating safe ways to socialize. The emphasis will be on funding creative, low-cost projects with the potential to expand. The board wants to hear from local businesses and organizations because they know how best to reinvigorate the economy as some restrictions on gatherings are lifted. McManus said, and I quote, "We want to solicit ideas rather than impose ideas," end quote. Most successful proposals will receive 50% of the funding up front, with 50% reimbursed after the event or activity is completed. Up to 5 community-based organizations will be eligible for loans through the Columbia Economic Development Corporation. Full upfront funding will be available to certain groups, ensuring no one is left out because they cannot front the money. Read the full story at HudsonValley360.com. Tony Dobrowski is reporting for the Berkshire Eagle. General Dynamics Mission Systems has entered into a new 4-year, $104.2 million submarine contract with the U.S. Navy. Company officials said on June 24th, most of the work will be done in Pittsfield, Massachusetts. The company is expanding to accommodate the work, which includes development, production, and installation of fire control systems for the Columbia Dreadnought class of ballistic missile submarines. The expansion is expected to be completed November of 2024. Laura Hooks, Vice President of General Dynamics Mission Systems Strategic Systems, said most of the work will be done by the company's current 1,633-member workforce. Company plans to add manufacturing employees under the new contract. General Dynamics hired 55 manufacturing employees last week and is expected to add another 15 this year. Hook said the company has been working with the Navy for more than 6 decades. Read the full story in the Berkshire Eagle. Nick Reisman is reporting for State of Politics. Longtime activist Howie Hawkins is running for president on the Green Party ticket. He ran for governor of New York 3 times, as well as for Syracuse mayor and city auditor. He also ran for the House of Representatives and the U.S. Senate. Hawkins is going national at a time when voters are being presented with 2 stark choices by the mainstream parties. He believes the pandemic has demonstrated that both Democrat and Republican parties have failed. Hawkins said in an interview June 24th, and I quote, "Two governing parties are governing over a failed state. Look at the coronavirus. We have 4% of the world's population and 20% of the deaths, end quote. Hawkins has four, and I quote, life or death, end quote, issues he is running on. The pandemic, a new Green Deal to combat climate change, fighting economic inequality through a job guarantee, and fighting nuclear proliferation. Hawkins says Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders has a sizable following in the party, and he has pushed the party's position on mainstream issues like universal access to Medicare, but he believes that impact falls short. Asked about criminal justice reform in the wake of George Floyd's killing, Hawkins said, and I quote, "It's good to redistribute," end quote, "some police funding to aid the homeless or drug addiction." However, he does not support abolishing police departments entirely. He said, and I quote, "You're going to need somebody to go out and apprehend people who are dangerous," end quote. Hawkins believes he shifted Democrats on key issues like a ban on hydrofracking and increasing the state's minimum wage to $15 an hour when he ran for governor in 2014, and Governor Andrew Cuomo eventually embraced both issues. He thinks he can have the same impact on a national level in 2020. Read the full story at nystateofpolitics.com. And that wraps up the WGXC Daily News. For local weather reports, public meetings, community information, and COVID-19 updates, visit our website at wgxc.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a nice weekend. And now, here is your WGXC weather update. The National Weather Service in Albany is forecasting a mostly sunny Friday afternoon with a temperature high near 83 degrees and a west wind at 3 to 6 miles an hour. It will be mostly clear tonight with a temperature low of around 59 degrees and a southwest wind at 3 to 6 miles an hour. Your forecast for the weekend. Well, on Saturday, scattered showers and thunderstorms. It will be a mostly cloudy Saturday with a temperature high near 78 degrees. And more scattered showers and thunderstorms on Saturday night. It will be mostly cloudy with a low of around 62. And on Sunday, isolated showers and thunderstorms after 2 p.m. It will be partly sunny with a high near 84 degrees. And scattered showers and thunderstorms on Sunday night. It will be partly cloudy with a low of around 62. And that's your weather update from WGXC 90.7 FM, radio for open ears, in Greene and Columbia Counties.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Joshua Mail of Seattle, Washington. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
On June 24th, the Village of Catskill Board of Trustees met and talked a lot about putting a Black Lives Matter mural on Main Street in Catskill or not. They never took any action on the issue, but talked a lot about it.
The Hudson Catskill Housing Coalition approached Vinny and the board 10 days ago, and we asked for permission to put a Black Lives Matter mural on Main Street, on the actual street itself, as we've seen in several other cities in the country, as well as Albany and soon to be Hudson. So Vinny and I have been talking through the details, and we've been researching Department of Transportation yellow paint drying times. Different states are reporting between 2 and 24 hours before cars can drive. I'm wondering, how quickly does Catskill DOT yellow paint take to dry, approximately?
Yeah, I would imagine I'm guessing it's a 24-hour run, just so it's completely dry. The cars drive over and it still looks like a mess. I'm going to say 24 hours, but that's not a scientific. That's me thinking I know about paint.
Yeah, that's what I'm going off of too. So I'm estimating that it's going to take 24 hours for the paint to dry and 24 hours for us to paint it, or less. I'm hoping that's going to be less. So 2 days total max. We're willing to do it on a Tuesday and Wednesday to keep it minimum impact for businesses. We have engineering plans from the folks who did the street mural in Albany. We can pre-measure before closing the street to cut down on the street closure time. And then for the location, we'd love to have some of Main Street parking available and Willard Alley available so we can block off part of the street so that people can, you know, either Willard Alley to Bridge Street or Willard Alley to Church Street. That would be, you know, up to you.
Okay.
Hold on. Claire, do you? Yeah, I'm okay. Still here. Claire, are you able to weigh in?
Let them do that.
I think she's there. I mean, I didn't put her on mute or anything. So, Claire, are you on?
Okay.
All right. So, Molly, I think one of the things that we had talked about, or one of the kind of the suggestions we gave, was as a possibly a better place for the mural to go is Water Street, and Water Street is kind of off. It is off our main path, but that's just kind of the point of it a little bit. But also the introduction of two banners that we would, you know, help to get funded, and those banners could be put around the village. You know, one could be put up on Main Street if that's appropriate, but then also one on the other side of town. Let's just say, for example, up by in the Walmart area up there, or by our firehouse. And the reason being is, you know, not everybody goes through our Main Street. I mean, we have so many people travel through our community through 9W and 385 and never actually get a chance to go there. So that's one of the options that we kind of threw out there. And tell me kind of why you think that that's not a good option.
So Claire is saying that she hasn't been unmuted. Can you try unmuting her again, please? She's muted herself. She messaged me. I told her she has to hit the pound twice. Or it's the star key. Star key. Shoot. Can you guys hear me?
Sorry, Claire.
Yeah.
Yep, there you
Hello?
Go.
I can hear you.
Yeah, there you go. Claire. Okay, thank you. Yep, go ahead.
Hi, everybody. So I kind of just wanted to add, before you guys continue with the on West Street, that it's an important time for Catskill. You have a lot of young people organizing right now, which means that they're paying close attention to what value you're putting on their lives. I mean, the lumberyard isn't getting very much business right now, and the people that live closest to lumberyard, they know that their lives matter. I don't think that that's an ideal place. I don't think it's strategic for the village to put it there. And I think that it says something completely different than what the meaning of Black Lives Matter is, which is why they asked for it to be on Main Street. And I think that it's important to notice that on the petition, a lot of your business owners signed it. So they're okay with that being there.
Right. It just comes down to the fact of the street being, you know, we're going to lose the street for 2 days. And I just go back to the banner concept, just being having a mobile banner, being able to get it and put it in a couple of different spots around the village. You're going to get much more. I mean, if the bottom line is that you want to get awareness and get people talking and get people taking action, painting it on Main Street to me is 50%. You're only seeing 20% of the people. Whereas if we had banners and we could put them around town, I think you'd get a much more visibility. Shutting down Main Street for 2 days to do this is just going to be problematic. I don't know if you've been paying attention over the past couple of weeks, but we tried to close Main Street down for some other things, and we just were met with a plethora of issues and people challenging us. So, I mean, I'll go around the board a little bit. I don't want it to just be me talking, but I'll go around the board a little bit. Tosh, you want to jump in and kind of give your opinion on what we could do to move forward?
Yeah. I talked to Molly a couple times individually about everything as well. I went around to all of the businesses on Main Street, not for this specifically, but a couple weeks ago, and we were met such, everybody was totally against it except for four businesses shut all. I mean, even one business owner said, if you shut for one day after I've been closed for 3 months, unable to make money, I'm just going to close my doors for good. And he's had a business on Main Street for decades. So I've been like trying to think of other roads and other areas. I do get Claire's point of what she's saying about it over there. I understand that. But if you start it, like when you're going up West Bridge Street, like right there and over, everybody who's driving on West Bridge Street would see it. And then also, I mean, I don't know if this is an option or not. I know it has to be the planning board or whatever, but he reached out to me, and he said he'd totally be down for you guys to paint a huge mural on the wall of the King's building he just bought, which is on the corner. But that would have to go before the planning board and, you know, all that stuff. But he actually reached out to me that he would be good for that.
Okay.
Natasha, can you repeat that last part? You got cut out a little bit.
I said Ben Fain reached out to me. I talked to Ben Fain on the phone. He owns the Kingsley building right on the corner of Main Street Light. And he said he would not be opposed to you doing a mural there of some kind for Black Lives Matter there instead of shutting the street down, because he knows what we went through in regards to shutting Main Street down even for a day. I mean, you would have to go through the planning board. Obviously, you'd have to like sketch up what you want specifically and have it go before the planning board to do. But that is his building. And I mean, you can him and discuss things with him regarding that.
I think we should continue the conversation. But also, I don't want you guys to think that we're the end all be all when it comes to like this situation. We're literally speaking on asks from the people for what they want. And the mural being on Main Street is in solidarity with the rest of the nation. It's not just, you know, like a banner is beautiful and that would be great in addition to, but the act itself, the demonstration it's not about inconvenience anymore. You know what I mean? Like that's what the problem has been for so long. And that's why it's so profound when cities and villages are saying, we don't care about 2 days being shut down, or we're willing to take that inconvenience because we want our people to know they matter. I know, Tosh, I know you understand what I'm saying because we're in the same circles with a lot of these things. But like the people in Hoppenose are literally saying to us, like, we want to see more from the village. Like a mural on a building is beautiful too, but it's not the movement. It's not the act that's being taken by other people in power.
All right, we understand. Let's hear from some of the other board members. Greg, are you available to talk?
I'm fine.
Yes, I am.
All right, go ahead.
It's a delicate situation given the business has been closed for so long. I have not pulled the businesses to see if they're opposed to it or not, but I guess if we did approve a mural on Main Street, the only time the street would be closed would be for the painting of the mural. And I just don't think that, you know, we went through this. I'm not sure if closing the streets is going to be, you know, closing it while the mural is on display. But once it's painted and dried, it could be there, you know, and I don't know, I guess we have to continue the conversation, but I'm not opposed to the mural. But I just, you know, when you hear from these businesses that have been closed for 3 months, it's like, you know, if I can't open my business, I'm done for good. You know, we have to weigh everything out. And that's my comment.
May I say okay. Something?
Go ahead.
May I say something?
Yes, go ahead.
My name is Tiffany Garriga, and, you know, I understand the concerns about the business owners, you know, but the mural is on the street. It has nothing to do with the sidewalk, so it wouldn't stop their customers from coming in. It would actually bring customers and tourists to the city because it would show the diverse, the love, and the actual concern that the village of Catskill has for Black lives, and acknowledging that what has been going on with Black lives for generations, that we matter now, and we're going to do something about it. You know, by having this mural, not only does it uplift the people of color in your village, but it shows other people of other races the respect that we have for one another. And, you know, wouldn't you want to be proud to live in a place that acknowledges people and not just funeral services?
Right. I agree. We understand.
One more point I would like to make. I understand also the concerns about the drying of the paint and the street being closed off for a certain amount of time, but it's not a month, it's not a week, it's not a year. It's a day of drying. Think of it the same way as if you would cross or close off the street when you are painting a crosswalk for the safety of individuals. You do crosswalks for the safety of pedestrians crossing the street to one sidewalk to another. This mural shows the dedication of safety for Black Lives Matter in the village of Catskill.
Okay, thank you. Mr.
Also,
Graffiti,
I would
like to,
this is Molly again. I would just like to say that we have almost 900 signatures on our petition asking for this mural, and we've had hundreds of people show up on our recent marches in Catskill for Black Lives. I know that our community wants this, and I know that we're all looking to this, we're all wondering what is the value of Black Lives to the village board. Is the value for businesses and the economy, or are we willing to put ourselves on the line for Black Lives and for change?
And understand, without Black Lives, there wouldn't be a thriving business and economy. So just understand that Black people, Black lives, we spend our money, our taxes, just as well as anyone else in the village of Catskill, and we want to be acknowledged, just like every other culture in America. I mean, that's what America is about. The only difference is that we are more than just acknowledging Black lives. We are acknowledging them alive, as we want our generations to continue to be living. And like I said, not for a funeral, for our future children. I know you all want to be proud and see particularly people of color graduate from school and have these thriving careers, and they can come back to the village of Catskill and be proud and say, look at what they voted on. And this is what made me keep my head up high in high school and pass and come back to give back to my community. Wouldn't you want that?
Yeah, of course. So let's hear from another board member. Pete, are you available?
Yeah, I'm here. Yep.
Okay.
I'm here. So regardless of race, gender, party, you know, as a board member, it's my job to represent the community as a whole. You know, I feel that, you know, if there's overwhelming support for any cause, I would be on board. So, you know, you have 900 signatures. Let's you know, we have how many residents, Benny? 4,000, is it?
We got 4,500 residents.
Let's get some real support, and let's get a compromise and work together. I mean, we talk about race and people of color. My son spoke to me last week, and I think I mentioned this to the board last week. 11 years old. He asked me, what's going on? Why are we talking about Black people? He goes, because he was raised not to notice color. But now it seems that he is aware of what's going on. And it kind of bothered me. I mean, I've been in business in the village of Catskill for 20 years. And my very first customer was Lisa McKinney. God bless her soul. I mean, I asked Kyle Lyles to run for village board with me. I don't feel that the village of Catskill has a major problem. And I know we do have nationwide problems. We all see that.
I don't want to interfere on how you raise your child.
Oh, you can interfere. Go ahead.
How you raise your child or how we raise our children is our own personal business. But I just want to acknowledge this. I am a person of color, and I do see color because that is what thrives this country. Colors of all races. That is what builds the culture in this country from the back of color. So just acknowledge that, please. Okay?
I will. Thank you.
And also, I don't know if you are aware of this, but you have representatives of the village of Catskill that came out with a sailboat to show two cities that always had unnecessary arguments from basketball games or whatever the situation would be. You had two villages of Catskill and the city of Hudson come together. Do you know how many people were there? Because it was more than just 900 representing Catskill. I saw people from Catskill that I've never seen in 20 years that they said they've been living there their whole life. So you can't expect people
of color, particularly who have been abused by authority of all types, to just come out and say, I'm going to put my name on a petition and don't know it, what type of retaliation there is. You all have to make that stand, and you can't just say you stand with us. Show us. Show the people in Catskill. I mean, and, you know, you would come out for a funeral and say, darn, this is sad. This young person lost their life. You know, they didn't have a chance. Show these people they have a chance. Show them that you care about us. I mean, you can have, you can tell a million stories about how we don't want to raise our children and shelter them from racism, but we cannot, because all lives do not matter unless Black lives matter. And that's right. Just so, the way it is. It's not a feeling. It's a reality. Do you watch the news, sir?
Yes, I do.
We all watch. We all watch.
I try not to watch too much of it because a lot of it will be distraught.
Well, you need to watch more so you can understand what we are going through and what we are talking about. This is an attack, sir. This is an acknowledgement that we want you to understand. We cannot simply understand people of color because we had a customer, a friend, a neighbor. You have to really understand on the front line. And this is not a war. This is a gesture. This is a beautiful thing. This is coming together. This is showing the community that we are not separated. We care about your lives, and we know that they're disappearing.
All right. Let me get one more board member, then I'll kind of close this up a little bit. Joe Kozlowski, are you on?
Yeah, I'm on. Everything I've heard so far about the mural on the road could also be said about the banner up above. When people drive up and down Main Street, the banner is easier to see. You have vehicles in front of you. If you're driving down Main Street, you're not going to be able to see the banner as at the mural as easily. So, again, I would say that the banner would be a better fit to be able to see that Black Lives Matter in our community.
All Vinny, right, can I just say something real quick?
Yeah, go ahead.
Before you end it, this is Julie and Dina. We're a business owner on Main Street, and we're, you know, absolutely 100% for the mural being done on Main Street. I think it's important. I think it's important symbolically. If it ends up being put on a side street, it doesn't have the symbolic import that it would if it were on Main Street. It doesn't. And so I just wanted, you know, that to be put out there that we're business owners and we feel like it's very important that it be done on Main Street.
Okay, thank you. So,
Main Street.
Yep. All right, so hold on, guys. So, I hear a couple different things. You know, one of them, obviously, I'm gonna have to go back and caucus with the board once we hang up this call. I would say that, and I don't want to get into a big conversation about this right now because it's just not a good spot. I'd rather do it safely in a space where we can all be face to face. I would rather be more talking about policies and changes and moving forward with things that are action. I get the gesture on painting it on the street. I believe me, I get it. I absolutely get it. And but I also feel like if we don't follow that up with serious conversations about policy changes and start to look at other things that are happening in the country, then this is all for nothing. So let me caucus the board a little bit when we're off this, and then we'll see what we can do. And I think there might be a couple of different angles we can go for this, and we'll take a look at that, the support list. And not because we're going to say, oh, there's 900 people on it, we're going to do it because of that. But if in fact, you know, the majority of the businesses who were in crisis mode last time when we had to shut it down just for other reasons. If they're in favor of this, then I would say that that's a little bit less stress on myself, quite honestly. And we can work through that that small amount of pain to get that on there. So you guys can stay on. We only have two more things on our agenda. Molly, what I'll do is you'll hear from Natasha or I within the next 24 hours what the next steps are. But here's what I do need from you, though, is a sketch of the size and where it would go on Main Street, because I really want to talk to those business owners and the residents right there. Is that fair?
I can do that.
Okay. And it's just like, you know, almost like a scale drawing, if you can, and say, yeah, because we're going to have to block the street and figure out a couple little different things from a operational standpoint. So that was good. Thank you guys for joining. You know?
Now we are going to speak with Tiffany Gariga and Molly Stinchfield from the Hudson Catskill Housing Coalition. Gariga is also represents the second ward on Hudson's Common Council, and they're here to talk about trying to get a mural painted on the streets of Hudson. Hello, Molly and Tiffany. How are you guys this morning?
Good. Good morning. How are you?
We're doing
well. Hi, Molly.
Hi, Tom. Hi, Tiffany.
Hello. Tell us, give us the story. When did you first approach the village, or did you start the petition online first? I guess that has about over 1,200 signatures now.
I can take that quick description. We approached the village board on the 14th, so about 2 weeks ago. And I asked Vinny Seely for a meeting on behalf of our coalition, and he asked me what it was about, and then we kind of just launched into that right away, and then he got back to me a few days later with his counter proposal, and when he said that he was waiting to get back to me, that's when I started the petition. So it was a respectful waiting period.
And just to ground this in the whole history, this started after the Washington, D.C. mayor painted Black Lives Matter near the White House. The Albany mayor painted Black Lives Matter on Lark Street, near where she had citizens tear gassed a week or two before. Schenectady has also painted earlier this week a Black Lives Matter mural on the street, and Hudson has promised one, although has not come through with that yet. Is that right?
Hudson has agreed to do it. They just haven't done it yet.
Hudson is putting the funding together. That's what Hudson is doing.
And so initially, I've seen reports that you guys wanted Black Lives Matter painted on the street, but something has came up with the phrase defund the police.
Well, the original proposed slogan was defund the police. Which is something very heavily topic that's going across this country. And from my understanding, when the Hudson Catskill Housing Coalition asked Vinny about it, you know, his response we'll have to say Black Lives Matter, that they were willing to do that. And now he wants us to wait. And that's the issue, and that's the problem. When it comes to Black lives, we always have to wait. We're tired of waiting. We represent this country. We definitely represent Catskill. And we want it to be shown.
Yeah, there was a June 24th meeting where they could have approved this, but they said, let's talk about it some more. Is that correct?
Yes, absolutely. I want to clarify that when I said a respectable waiting period, I meant we waited a respectable amount of time after asking Vinny to write the petition. We should not be waiting this long. It's been about 12 days since we asked, and we should already have a mural. It should be already dried and ready to go.
I mean, the excuse is just beyond me. You know, we have a petition, we have a tremendous amount of signatures from business owners to local residents, and it's about, well, wait, it's about control. Why is it, when it comes to Black people and Black lives, why does it only matter when it matters to you? Why does it only matter when you can control the lives in a situation? Slavery is over. We pay taxes. We have businesses. We are customers. We are neighbors. We are here, and we want to be represented, and we want to be represented everywhere. It is in D.C. It is in other parts of the city. What is the problem, Catskill?
Yeah, D.C. went and did it basically, it seemed like, in one day. Albany, it took maybe 2 days. Schenectady took, I think, a week or two. And so I don't understand. That seems to be the only argument I saw in the newspaper story was that this was going to disrupt business and take time by closing the street or something.
Isn't that absurd? I mean, like, that is like, I have to say that it's like a racist comment. It's an indirect racist comment. We're going to disrupt businesses? How is that so? They are black businesses in Catskill. I mean, how is that so? Black people are customers, they spend money. How is that so? Isn't that absurd? Don't you think so, Tom?
Well, I'm just trying to be the the reporter, but in the other cities, it didn't. There wasn't a delay.
Yeah, I think that unfortunately, the village board is using this as an excuse. They're using the businesses as an excuse for them not to have to get into the harder issues, which is why do black people feel uncomfortable and disenfranchised in Catskill Village and in the larger Greene County and the Hudson Valley? And that's the major issue, and that's what we're talking about. And I can understand, I'm a business owner. I got all of my gigs canceled from COVID-19. I'm still waiting for them to come back. I'm a photographer, but look, I'm absolutely willing to put myself on the line and take some sacrifices because our black neighbors really need us right now. We need white people to be standing up for these issues. We need black people have been standing up for issues of racism for 400 years, and it hasn't gone anywhere. And it's our job as white people and people with privilege and power, like the village board and even business owners. There's a lot of privilege in being a business owner, being a homeowner on Main Street. They can use their power to stand up and say, this isn't right. We need to support our local black neighbors. We need to support our young people and teach all young people, regardless of race, that speaking up bravely for each other should be a part of our values and our culture.
And do you guys have do you have more demands besides just painting something on the street? Hudson has, I guess, announced a 10% cut in police funding. Do you have other issues with the village of Catskill?
Housing rights. The people need to know their rights. There's issues in the Hoppenose. And they need to be addressed. People are being put on the back burner for years and generations. Wait. People are tired of waiting. We're not waiting anymore. That's why these protests are going on throughout the country. It's too much of waiting. Why are we waiting? You come out for a funeral service to tell our mothers and fathers, I'm so sorry. We don't want to hear that. We are alive. How are we stopping businesses? We're bringing you business. People have to walk on the sidewalk. This sign is on the street. People are not complaining when you close the street to paint a crosswalk for pedestrians. Pedestrians are black too. Black lives matter. Don't ever forget it.
And do you think it's going to be more difficult to get reforms done in the city if it's this difficult to get a mural painted on the street?
Well, those are challenges that we have in this country since we were brought here. You know, when we were kidnapped as Africans in this country, we didn't know we were going to be free, but we continued to fight and we continued to struggle. And we continue to get out of that one way or another. That's our history in this country. We're going to get out of this. Black Lives Matter will be recognized.
Is there what kind of actions would you like people to take to support your cause? I guess that, you know, there's this petition online that people can sign on. But do you want people to show up at the next village meeting, or is that an online meeting, or what would you like people to do?
If the petition, if we haven't been accepted by the time 2 weeks from now, when there's the next village board meeting, which happens on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. And right now they're doing a call-in number, and they post it. Natasha Law, who's one of the village board members, posts it on her personal page. If this hasn't been painted by that time, we definitely need people to show up to that meeting on the phone call and speak up. We have our petition on change.org. Tom will share the link with you to share with the listeners. We ask that you email all of the village board members. All of their emails are listed on the website. So if you do a search for Catskill Village Board of Trustees emails, they will all come up. Phone calls, emails, reaching out to your neighbors, especially your Catskill Village neighbors, to let them know, sign the petition, call your representatives. They're working for us. We vote them in, and we are their, we're their constituents. They're supposed to be doing service for us. They can donate to the Hudson Catskill Housing Coalition. They can talk with their friends and family. We want Catskill Village people to sign, but also any support would be helpful.
Is there a website for the Hudson Catskill Housing Coalition?
Our website will be live hopefully within the week. It is www.hudsoncatskillhousing.org. However, we do have a Facebook page, which is Hudson Catskill Housing. So that's a great place to get connected with us for now.
All right. Is there anything else we left out of this story, or anything else you want to tell folks?
Tiffany, it's all you.
It's so funny how when we were brought here in this country, it was a price on our head. We were sold as slaves. And now this excuse of having such a beautiful representation on the street, the excuse is about money once again. Isn't that something?
That is,
we're free, right? We're free-ish. Thank you, Tom.
All right, thank you, Tiffany and Molly Sinchfield. And you can,
thanks, Tom.
You can go online to change.org is where the petition is.
Yep.
To sign, and then that village meeting is not next Wednesday, but the Wednesday after that, and you can join that online.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you guys for joining us this morning. You're listening to WGXC 90.7.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC News Update. I'm Philip Grant. Amelia Teasdale is reporting for the Columbia paper. The Ichabod Crane Board of Education announced this week the appointment of Assistant Superintendent Suzanne Guntlow as the district's new superintendent. At a June 23rd meeting, Board President Matthew Nelson thanked departing Superintendent Jason Thompson for his work. Guntlow's appointment is effective July 1st through 2023. Guntlow began her career in the district as a primary school principal in December 2013. She became a district-level administrator in 2017 and was appointed assistant superintendent in 2019. The board worked with consultants to vet Guntlow's references and qualifications. She was interviewed by the board, and the board also heard from community members. Nelson said of the process that started when Thompson gave his notice in May, and I quote, "We heard from many, many voices. We're all ready for a little stability," end quote. Read the full story in the Columbia paper. Amanda Freeze is reporting for the Times Union. State Attorney General Latia James, June 25th, filed a lawsuit against the operators of three dump sites in Ulster County, citing, and I quote, "persistent and flagrant violations," end quote, of state solid waste and water pollution laws. The case was filed in state Supreme Court in Ulster County against J. Carolus & Sons, a local trucking and excavation company. The suit alleges that three of the dumps in the town of Saugerties accepted and disposed of construction and demolition debris at the sites and operated without the requisite state water pollution control permits and in violation of solid waste requirements. James said in a press release, and I quote, "Mr. Carolus not only didn't follow our laws, he repeatedly and flagrantly flouted them, ignoring the harms that his illegal conduct posed to the town of Saugerties and Ulster County," end quote. The dumps in question are located adjacent to State Route 212 between the village of Saugerties and the town center of Woodstock in a largely residential area. Read the full story in the Times Union. Columbia Green Media is reporting a Warren Street Academy teacher was arrested June 25th and charged with multiple felonies. Police said Sean M. Miller, 26, of Latham, was arrested following a police investigation into the possession and promotion of child pornography. New York State Police Computer Crime Unit followed a tip from the Internet Crimes Against Children Task Force. Following the execution of a search warrant at Miller's home, police found child pornography as well as an illegal assault rifle. Miller told police he was a teacher at the Warren Street Academy in Hudson. Law enforcement could not reach anyone at the school, but the Hudson Police Department was notified of the arrest. Colony police said, and I quote, "While the investigation has not revealed any known victims in this area, the nature of this offense and his access to children lead us to ask that anyone that has information or may have been victimized by this defendant contact their local police department," end quote. The Warren Street Academy, also known as The Bridge, opened to students in 2014. The school is slated to close along with the Berkshire Union Free School District next week. And you can read the full story at HudsonValley360.com. Dennis Slattery is reporting for the New York Daily News. State Senator Zelnor Myrie is introducing a bill that would change the way police are held legally accountable by eliminating qualified immunity, a provision that protects law enforcement officers from civil action for on-the-job misconduct. Myrie and other lawmakers argue that qualified immunity too often lets police brutality go unpunished. The measure introduced by the Brooklyn Democrat permits individuals to file claims against cops who violate their constitutional rights in state court instead of the federal courts. Myrie said, and I quote, "In the absence of federal action, I think it's important for New York to step up and show people that we will hold police officers liable for misconduct. Even when officers are charged criminally, police can still claim qualified immunity if relatives or victims sue." Supporters of the doctrine argue it deters frivolous lawsuits. A recent Reuters analysis of qualified immunity cases filed from 2015 to 2019 found that in more than half of the 252 cases where police were accused of excessive force, the courts granted police qualified immunity. The analysis also found dozens of cases where police who had allegedly engaged in unlawful misconduct were protected by qualified immunity. Pat Lynch, president of the Patrolmen's Benevolent Association, slammed the proposal. He said, and I quote, "Once again, our elected officials are dumping all of the liability for their decisions onto the police officer on the street," end quote. Read the full story in the Daily News. And that wraps up the WGXC News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, community information, and COVID-19 updates, visit our website at WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a nice weekend.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Friday, June 26th. Things start out on the comfortable side today. A little bit of humidity combines with the day's low of 59 occurring at 5 a.m. Temperatures rise to 84 by 2 p.m. Light breeze and low humidity should help counter the warmth pretty well. Overnight, it will be comfortable at dark. A chance for some to give those ACs a rest. Temperatures bottom out at 60 degrees around 4 a.m. Tomorrow will be stormy, rain entering the area around 10 a.m. and brings the chance for lightning with it. Rain likelihood increases after 2 p.m. Temperatures peak at 78 degrees at 4 p.m. This storm could be pretty tough in some places. The potential for hail and even tornadoes exists. It's light, but it's there. Although it will lighten, rain chances continue well past dark into Sunday, making the day sticky as well as hot. Pollen levels are currently in medium range and will drop off tomorrow big time with the coming rain. Currently, grasses are the dominating allergen. The next high tides will be at 7:04 a.m. and at 8:06 p.m. The next low tides will be at 2:10 p.m. and tomorrow at 2:18 a.m. Water temperature will be 82 degrees again today. Sunset today will be at 8:15 p.m. and it will be the latest sunset of the entire year. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 5:20 a.m. Looking way up, we see the current solar minimum is giving scientists the opportunity to detect something called pulsation continuous, which is what was detected on Tuesday. The gentle brushing of our magnetosphere by the solar wind can cause a ringing of our magnetic field and ground currents, just like rubbing the edge of a crystal glass to make it ring, something we can't normally detect over the din of an active sun. Solar wind speed is currently 327 kilometers per second at 2.2 protons per milliliter. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 2. Quiet. There have been 10 days since the last sunspot, and this has been the Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Maker Syndicate.
Welcome to 2020 Talks, where we track the 2020 elections in uncharted territory.
My service in the Congress has been dedicated to achieving equality for the people I represent, which only statehood can provide.
Eleanor Holmes Norton has served in the House for 30 years, but she's a non-voting delegate, not a representative, because she's from Washington, D.C., which is legally a United States territory. The House votes today on a historic bill to make D.C. the 51st state. Ashari James is with March for Our Lives, D.C. She says without voting representation, she has nobody to lobby or truly represent her.
Being a Black woman in America, your voice is naturally silenced. And then to be a Black woman in D.C., where I literally could not vote for people who would fight for me on a personal note, is disappointing and disheartening.
The bill is expected to pass in the House, but President Trump says he'll veto it if it comes to his desk. Last month, he told the New York Post, quote, why? So we can have two more Democrat senators and five more congressmen, unquote. But Janice Lewis-George, a candidate for D.C. Council Ward 4, says President Trump's responses to recent protests just highlight problems with the current structure.
If D.C. were a state, you know, we would be able to push back against the heavily militarized federal presence in the city and, you know, keep the autonomy of our own police force.
Under D.C. law, any president is authorized to command the Metropolitan Police Department.
Unfortunately for us, all we can do is really, you know, hold our mayor accountable to, you know, the deployment of MPD. But when Trump, you know, is able to have that level of power over us, you know, we're really limited in fighting back and not having such a militarized presence in right here in our community.
A new Washington Post Ipsos poll of Black Americans shows racism and policing as the two most important issues in their choice of candidate in November, and 92% of Black registered voters intend to choose former Vice President Joe Biden. On the question of whether it's important for Biden to nominate a Black woman as his running mate, respondents were split 50-49.
I think selecting an African-American woman is really going to take things to another level, certainly with those in the Black population, honestly. I mean, I would be super excited.
Ramesh Akberry is Tennessee's first African-American state Senate Democratic caucus chair. She says, like the election of Barack Obama, a Black woman VP would bring a greater sense of belonging and acceptance.
And I think now in this time where we really are hopefully facing the true nature of systemic racism and injustice and police brutality, that we can have someone that can continue, that can unite us and kind of repair some things that have happened over these last several years.
From Pacifica Network and Public News Service, I'm Lily Wolke. Thanks for listening at pacificanetwork.org and publicnewsservice.org.
Thank you.